Welcome to the Broadway Radio Show. I am Donald Feltham, and it's the beginning of a new year, 2026. So it's time for Richard Skipper to be back. He was here at the beginning of 2025, celebrating the anniversary of Hello, Dolly. If you remember Richard. Hi, Richard.
Hello. It's good to be back.
It's great to be back.
I listen to you every Sunday as I'm putting my newsletter together. Yes. You're the background. So yes. Thanks for that.
and I have made a few appearances on your podcast / YouTube show. So tell people about that so they can catch it.
Well, I have a podcast called Richard Skipper Celebrates, because those who know me and those who should know me know that I'm all about celebrating, mm-hmm. celebrating life, celebrating art. I like to say that I'm celebrating a person's body of worth instead of a body of work, mm-hmm. Because there's so much that goes into it that's not just what we see or hear on stage. So I started doing the podcast essentially as a response to COVID. I wanted to do essentially an audio podcast because I always had this fantasy of the old radio programs where people could call in. That was my goal and intention. Mm-hmm. And I reached out to Leslie Ann Warren. I don't know if I ever shared this story with you.
I
reached out to Leslie. We've done several things together over the years. And I reached out and asked if she would be my first guest. And she was coming to New York to do Broadway Backwards. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you are familiar with Broadway
yep.
Backwards.
Yeah.
But it's gender-twisting songs from Broadway musicals mm-hmm. and movies. And Leslie Ann Warren was scheduled to appear. And so I wanted to talk about that. And after the interview was over, she reached out to me and she said, "Have you heard of this thing called COVID?" Which I had never heard of. Mm-hmm. And she said, "I'm hearing a lot about it and I'm nervous about getting on a plane." And I said, "Well, you should call the producers and let them know. Of course, they don't want you to come here under duress." Mm-hmm. So she called the producers. They graciously let her out of the contract. The next day, they closed Broadway Backwards. And the day after that, all of Broadway shut down.
Mm-hmm.
But I started doing these podcasts, and then someone suggested I do them on camera, and that got me through COVID. I did podcast, can you believe this, almost 7 days a week.
Oh, my God.
And our kitchen was being remodeled. The workers would come in. They would work till 5 o'clock each day. They would leave, and I would do a podcast that night at 7.
Mm-hmm.
But as you know, doing this once a week, a lot of work goes into this.
Oh, yeah.
it's the research. It's not just turning a switch on and we're going to sit down and talk. Mm-hmm. I read every book mm-hmm. that I celebrated on the show, as I know you do too.
Oh, yeah.
I was very familiar with each artist that I brought on the show, and it was a lot of work. And when we were able to basically come out of our cocoons again and get out there, I said, I can't do this anymore. And so I do one show a week every Friday afternoon. It's live.
Mm-hmm.
And I bring on 5 artists and I pick a word. And like this Friday, I know this is going to be airing later, but the word is faith. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about faith in our art. What keeps you going when everything is tough and everything? And I've got 5 amazing artists on the show at that time.
Yeah. And I've been on, I think, 3 times maybe. And it's always really fun. It's always really interesting. It's a little challenging as a guest, but challenging in a good way, because you kind of keep the guests on their toes. Mm-hmm. And it's nice because it's all very spontaneous.
Yes.
We kind of know what the general topic is going to be, but we don't know the specific questions you're going to ask us. And we kind of have to kind of go with the flow and be spontaneous.
Well, it's very really, interesting.
And it's good.
But when a collective of people come together, mm-hmm. whatever the subject be, my shows are not political, but let's say they are.
Mm-hmm.
I love that people listen to each other on mm-hmm. my show mm-hmm. and that we each have something to offer.
Right.
And I think that in the culture that we're living in right now, the art of conversation mm-hmm. is something that I feel especially as new generations are coming up, that it's not knowing how to sit down at a dinner table and have a conversation with everyone around the table without constantly looking at your phone, looking things up. So I really love those moments where we just come together and have a conversation.
Right. And that's exactly what it is, because I really like that too, because it doesn't feel like, even though you bring the guests on one at a time, once everyone's on, it does become a bit of a group chat and a group conversation, and people feed off of each other, because one person will say something and that will sometimes trigger a thought or a comment or a new angle to the conversation from someone else. And everybody comes from a sort of different areas of the arts or thought or whatever, so that it's not all actors or not all writers, or whatever. It's all different people from different areas, which is really interesting.
And it's funny, when I reach out to someone and say, would you like to come on the show? Sometimes people say to me, well, I don't have anything to promote.
Back
and look at the shows. You don't always have to have something to promote.
Right.
I want you on the show. For those of you who are listening out there, I want my guest on the show because I want to hear what you have to say.
Right.
Not necessarily because you have something to promote.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And although you are on this show right now, and we are actually, we're here because you actually have a couple of things coming up. This show is going to be airing on Sunday, February 1st, which interestingly enough marks my birthday. It is actually my 65th birthday today, February 1st. And because you are going to be celebrating your 65th birthday on February 11th at the Revolution Stage Company in Palm Springs, correct?
Absolutely. And I, you know, this is going to sound a little woo-woo right now, but I study numerology.
Mm.
And 6 and 5 is?
11.
11. And it's supposed to be a very powerful number in mm-hmm. our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, for those of you who have not reached this milestone, because it is a milestone.
Yes.
Once the world starts to realize that you're turning 65. Every day I get letters from AARP,
yes.
the Medicare,
right.
You know, it's everything. I went to get my COVID shot recently and my flu shot. And he said, oh, I see that you're about to become a senior citizen. I said, I think I'm already there.
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, I have a story about that, too. I have a story from, actually, this was many years ago. A friend of mine and I can't believe I'm going to tell you this story, but many years ago, a friend of mine was hosting an Oscar party and ordered some food from some takeout food for the party and asked me to go pick it up. And I went to go pick it up from, it was sort of like a chicken place. And he ordered like one of those things where you can order like 24 pieces of chicken for this Oscar party. And I went to go pick it up. And the woman at the counter, when I went to go pay for it, she applied the senior discount. And I wasn't even close to that. It was like, this was like years ago. And I looked at the receipt and went, oh my God, she applied the senior discount. And I don't think I had even turned 60 at that point.
Well, I embrace it now. When I sign up, when I go to get tickets for the movies.
Oh yeah.
In the senior citizen discount.
Oh, damn right.
I embrace it.
That's right. I've paid my dues. I do. I deserve it. That's the way I look at it.
Yes,
I've paid my dues. I deserve it. And you are also, I'm very happy to announce, you're also going to be on February 27th. You are going to be at the Laurie Beachman Theater for the third encore.
My third encore, yes.
Yes. You are becoming a kind of a fixture at the Laurie Beachman Theater in New York.
Well, it's been so exciting. I created this show. I originally called it Everything You Always Wanted to Know About Richard Skipper But Were Afraid to Ask.
Uh-huh.
That's a lot to remember.
Mm-hmm.
And when I send things out, press releases out and everything, they don't want to put that entire title out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back. I was in Provincetown in August doing my show. And I'm not kidding you, on 4 different occasions, people came up to me who said, are you Richard Skipper? I watched your podcast. And I thought, the branding of Richard Skipper Celebrates is so easy for people to remember.
Mm.
And because that's who and what I'm all about, when I do these shows, Which, first of all, the premise is that we pass out question cards before the show, and people can ask me anything they want to ask about people I've worked with, places I've been, life lessons I've learned in this business, or anything else they want to ask me. Nothing is off limits. And so my husband, God bless him, normally works the crowd. He goes out and hands out the question cards. Before the show, in a larger venue, we use their ushers, and we get as many cards as we can, and then I don't see them. I don't see any of the question cards. But I have a way of, because I love improv, I love the feeling of not knowing what's next, which is life in itself.
Yes.
So, but I have a knack for finding my way based on whatever that question is of getting to the next song.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I tie it all together.
Right. So for anybody who hasn't been to the Laurie Beachman Theater in New York, it's not that easy to find.
It's at the West Bank Cafe.
It's at the West Bank Cafe. It's downstairs. In the West Bank Cafe. So if you are in New York, are going to be in New York on February 27th at 7 p.m., you can catch Richard's show at the Laurie Beachman Theater. You just got to find the West Bank Cafe and go in, and you'll find the staircase leading down to the theater, which has all been completely redone.
Well, you know, we almost lost it.
Yeah. I
mean, it was truly one of those casualties of COVID.
Yeah.
Almost to be. Mm-hmm. You know, the moratoriums were already out there.
Yeah.
And then Tom and Michael Dangora, Broadway producers, God bless them, they came in and they saved the place. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to say, and I'm knocking on wood when I say this, I don't want to tip the gods or fates, I've sold out every time I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really book my next show until I know that I've sold out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you're not able to make the show on February 27th, buy a couple of tickets for a friend so you know I'm coming back.
Yes. Anyway, the reason I asked Richard on the show is because I know, as we all know, he's an expert, big fan of Carol Channing and Hello, Dolly. In particular. So I sent him a request and said, well, I want you to come back on the show. And why don't you pick your 10 favorite Jerry Herman songs? Because I know he loves Jerry Herman, because Jerry Herman is sort of the epitome of Broadway show tunes and uplifting and happy and optimistic music. And so Richard sent me his list back. And then I said, well, maybe how's this for a little bit of a twist? Instead of your 10 favorite Jerry Herman show tunes, why don't you do your favorite Jerry Herman show tunes, but you have to pick one from each of Jerry's musicals? So you can't like pick multiple ones from each show. You have to pick one song from each of his Broadway or off-Broadway shows, because he had his off-Broadway review parade was how he started. And Richard came back to me. He didn't say yes or no. I just heard silence. It was like dead silence for a couple days from you. I was like, oh, that didn't go over very well. And then a couple days later, I got this email back titled, "This was so hard."
It is.
It's very hard. But he came back with a list in chronological order of every one of Jerry Herman's shows and said, here are my picks for songs from each show. So we're going to do that right now with Richard Skipper. And we're going to start with the kind of the off-Broadway review show that got Jerry Herman noticed in New York, which was called Parade. So why don't you talk about a little bit about Parade and which song you picked from that show?
Well, you're going to have to remind me, because there are so many, you know, I don't have that list in front of me.
Oh, I will guide you through the list, because I
you will guide me through this, yes. Because I am such a fan of Jerry Herman's. Mm-hmm. And I want to recommend a great book called Lyrics by Jerry Herman. Mm-hmm. With Jerry Herman and Ken Bloom, it's like my Bible. Mm-hmm. And I go back and just to sit and read the lyrics of these
mm-hmm.
songs.
Mm-hmm.
Carol Channing used to say that when Jerry was born, God tapped him on the shoulder, not once, but twice, because he was the lyricist and the composer.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he had a few moderate successes, like, you know, Mighty Aphrodite and those shows. But Parade was the show that really people started sitting up and taking notice.
Right.
And Charles Nelson Reilly, Dodie Goodman. And Dodie Goodman ended up, interestingly enough, becoming a very dear friend of mine.
Oh, uh-huh.
But so I have a special place. But there's so many great songs and songs from this musical, as you know, that got re-altered, let's say that, where the lyrics were changed and put in other context in other musicals as his career went on. Mm-hmm. So this was the stepping off point.
Yes. And you picked like the perfect way to start because you picked Show Tune.
Yes.
Which is sung by the entire cast, which the melody probably will sound very familiar to people because it's a very Jerry Herman melody. So yes. Let's hear Show Tune from the musical review Parade.
The 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3.
One
of the waltz may enchant you, we grant you.
And the syncopation of the cha-cha turned.
All the blues may tickle your ear and be all you're wanting to hear.
But as far as we're concerned, there's just no tune as exciting as the show. Lights everywhere when it's played. You can just smell the grease paint in the air. It's the smart beat that's inviting. It's the heartbeat of the star. There's just no tune as exciting as a show.
Broadway rhythm of the icing. Liza, this is my lucky day. Hallelujah, oh love is sweeping the country. Swanee, I feel a song coming on. Sunny, just picked one of those crazy things and they're opening another show.
That's
riding high from this moment on. Tootsie, strike up the band. Rio, Rita.
There's no tune.
Let's not be late tonight.
There's
no business like I got rid of show. Who could ask for anything more?
No tune as exciting as a show.
So next up from Jerry Herman, we have his first Broadway musical, Milk and Honey. So talk a little bit about the show, because it was sort of, it wasn't a flop. It was sort of a moderate success and really brought him to the attention of a lot of people because it was his Broadway debut and it was an important show for him.
He was the wonder kid of Broadway at the time. I mean, he was very young. He was in his early 20s. Mm-hmm. Molly Picon, you know, the big name that people all remember from the show. Great score, great songs. Again, You Make Life Difficult, Donald. I asked you to pick one song. But this song is very instrumental because I don't think that we would have had the Jerry Herman score of Hello, Dolly. Mm-hmm. Without Milk and Honey.
Mm-hmm.
When Milk and Honey was playing on Broadway, should I jump ahead and tell the story of how it looked? Well, he was doing Milk and Honey around the same time that Milk and Honey opened. David Merrick had always imagined or envisioned that he would do a musical version of The Matchmaker.
Mm-hmm.
And so his dream team was Robert Merrill, Michael Stewart, and Gower Champion. But Gower Champion and Robert Merrill did not get along, Bob Merrill. They did not get along when they were working on Carnival together. So Bob Merrill said, absolutely not. I will not work with this guy again. And he dropped out. It was then that Michael Stewart, who was very dear friends with Jerry, said, you know, there's this idea of this musical. And that led to Dolly. And we can talk a little bit about that after this next song.
Yeah. So we're going to hear from Milk and Honey. You chose Chin Up, Ladies. And is there a particular reason you chose this song?
To me, it's just such a fun, exuberant song. And it really, to me, sets the tone for what was to come in terms of the optimism of Jerry Herman. When I think of Jerry Herman, I think of optimism. I'm a huge Stephen Sondheim fan. Mm-hmm. But you don't always think of optimism, not always, when you're thinking of Stephen Sondheim. And interestingly enough, and we'll talk about them being up against each other later on. Mm-hmm. But to me, it just sets this exuberant tone, and I just love this song.
So you see, boys, our main purpose in being here in Israel is to form a marriage between the two cultures, male and female.
Mrs. Siegel, Cincinnati, finds it oh such a comfort to believe. Though she came here, Mrs. Siegel, Cincinnati, she may come home, Mrs. Levy, Tel Aviv.
Mrs. Levy, Tel Aviv.
Mrs. Perlman, Jersey City, has been thinking how lovely it would be to send home a postal card to Jersey City and to sign it, Mrs. Cohen, Galilee.
Is wearing gold blue garters and a borrowed blouse.
And Mrs. Breslin has been as busy as a bee, rehearsing an Israeli lyric for Oh Promise Me.
Mrs. Weinstein, Chattanooga, likes authentic Israeli atmosphere. When the tour is behind her, she'd have something to remind her if she carried home a 6-foot souvenir. Now Mrs. Breslin would like a dark roué, and Mrs. Strauss likes temples that are turning gray, and Mrs. Kessler would like a mustache and a cleft.
And what would you like, Clara?
I'd like anything that's left.
You are a wonderful group of ladies. If all of us were not married, we would never let you go back home. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom, boys. Shalom.
Again, no luck.
So what is it? The end of the world? Pull in your belts. Throw out your chests. And chin up, ladies. Look around the horizon. Head high, ladies. Don't give up the ship. Look for the silver lining, you gotta go on with the show. Climb every mountain to find your Mr. Snow. And always hip hop, ladies, there's a brighter tomorrow. Sniff upper lip up, ladies, do or die is the plan. Don't ever be discouraged, don't ever be perplexed. There's always another country, Russia may be next. So keep your chins up, ladies. Somewhere over the rainbow there's a man.
Chin up, ladies. Look around the horizon. Head high, ladies. Don't give up the ship.
Ladies, there's a brighter tomorrow.
with a smile whenever you're able, and a laugh whenever you can. Somewhere over the rainbow there's a land.
So you mentioned a moment ago, obviously, Milk and Honey leads to Jerry Herman getting picked by Merrick for Hello Dolly. And I know Hello Dolly is a very important show for you.
Yeah.
So when I asked you to pick a song from Hello Dolly, your response was, I can't pick one single song from Hello Dolly. So Richard sent me back a list with three songs from Hello Dolly. You picked World Take Me Back, Before the Parade Passes By, and the title song, Hello Dolly. So why those three, and which one of those do you want the listeners to hear? So let's talk about those three. Because World Take Me Back, people may not be that familiar with, because it's not in the normal playlist for the show.
Well, that's one of the reasons why you picked it.
Yeah.
Because it was written for Ethel Merman.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry came in, he met David Merrick, and he said to David Merrick that he really wanted to do this musical. And David Merrick did not want him at first, mm-hmm. because he thought he was too, are you ready for this, ethnic, because of the tone of Milk and Honey.
Right.
And he said, are you kidding me? I'm from New Jersey. Of course I'm the right person for this. And David Merrick put him to the test, and he said, if you can come back after the weekend with a few songs, and I like the songs, the job is yours. And he came in the next weekend, after the weekend, with four songs that he really thought captured the tone of Dolly. He got the job.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, I've always wanted to write a musical for Ethel Merman. The very first show that Jerry saw on Broadway was Annie Get Your Gun when he was 15. And he made up his mind that if he ever got the chance, he was going to write a musical for Ethel Merman. So when he called Miss Merman, she said, I don't even want to hear the songs because I don't want to be influenced. I've spent my entire life in dressing rooms, hotel rooms. I'm ready to retire from show business. Can you believe this?
Uh-huh.
And they were crushed. It eventually, it's a long story. I will not go through all the details. We talked about this before.
Yeah.
There were several women that were suggested before they eventually got to Carol Channing. So Carol Channing opened the show. Of course, Carol Channing and Ethel Merman sound nothing alike. So this song, World Take Me Back, which is the song we're going to hear, has the brassiness and the feel of what Jerry Herman wanted the show to feel like. And because the show was written for Ethel Merman, with all due respect to Carol Channing, who I love, since the show was written for Ethel Merman, and Ethel Merman, 7 years later, comes into the show, at that point making it the longest running show on Broadway at the time,
mm-hmm.
I felt that this would be the right song for us to go with if I had to choose one. So,
which I put Richard on the spot. Before we started recording, I put Richard on the spot and said, on these ones that you have a toss-up, I'm going to make you pick one.
Which is hard for him. The world take me back.
Yeah. So we're going to hear that right now.
I've sliced my slice of life a little thin, haven't I, Ephraim? I've been on the outside looking in, haven't I, Ephraim? Well, from now on, Ephraim, all that's gonna change. The world is full of wonderful things, a bushel of wonderful things for me to believe in. So world, take me back. I wanna be part of the human race again and bid goodbye to all my trouble and tears. I've wasted so many odd years. It's time to get even. So world, take me back. I wanna let laughter light up my face again. have to just sit life out since heaven knows when. My step has a spring and a drive. I'm suddenly young and alive. You wonderful world, take me back again. The world is full of Aprils and Junes, red roses and yellow balloons for me to hang on to. So world, take me back. I wanna be part of those good old days again. Whatever happened to those wonderful sights, those dancing the night away nights? Oh, where have they gone to? So world, take me back. I wanna be there when the gas lights blaze again. Oh, no more watching from the sidelines. I intend to star in the show. No more reaching for tomorrow. From now on I stand with today in my hand. For today the world is ripe as a peach. It's gonna be mine till I reach 110. My step has a spring and a drive. I'm suddenly young and alive. You wonderful world, take me back again.
So from Dolly, we're going to take a little bit of a detour, because what people may not realize is that Jerry Herman also contributed songs to other shows where requested. Now that Dolly was a big hit, we're going to do it a couple of times here. He was called in to add some songs to a musical that was kind of struggling a little bit called Ben Franklin in Paris, starring Robert Preston as Ben Franklin. So talk a little bit about that and the song you picked from that score, which there were not a lot of Jerry Herman songs in there, but it's definitely worth listening to. So let's talk about that for a second.
Well, you know, what's very interesting, and a lot of people may, I don't know if it still happens, to the extent that it was happening at that time. But there were certain composers that would be brought in to either help to doctor a show, mm-hmm, or to make adjustments. Interestingly enough, when Jerry was doing Hello, Dolly, they brought Charles Strauss and Lee Adams in, mm-hmm, to work on the show. And, you know, there have been rumors, although those rumors, I think they're nothing more than rumors, that Charles Strauss did contribute to some of the songs in Dolly. What Charles Strauss brought to Dolly was the structure of the show. I mean, the show as we know today is very much Charles Strauss. And I think I can say this, Charles Strauss, him and Michael Stewart had the same attorneys. And I know this because I interviewed Charles Strauss. They had the same attorney, and Charles Strauss threatened to sue because they were using so much of his ideas and his structure that he was talked out of it. But until the day he passed, he got residuals for Dolly. Mm-hmm. So he continued to do so. So, and it was a secret. We never knew about these other, interesting adjustments to the show. I don't know if Ben Franklin in Paris is one of those shows that ever get presented anywhere else. It may get encores or, New Moon in San Francisco or something along those lines, but it doesn't get done anymore. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure that we both know that if it was to be done today, I think Jerry Herman would have the credit in the program.
Oh yeah, I think these days, in those days in the 50s and 60s and possibly earlier, it wasn't that uncommon, especially when you were working with producers like David Merrick or Josh Logan, people like that, they would bring in writers that they worked with on a regular basis. And as a favor, they would come in, and if their show was struggling, especially if they were working with new songwriters, it wasn't unusual for these veterans to come in to help out as a favor. And they would come in and they would contribute some songs or tinker with some songs. And they would maybe get, I mean, they contractually might get some residuals, but they wouldn't get credit. And they were sort of like ghostwriters. And they would come in and help to tinker with shows because it was a favor. And they would help out each other with this kind of stuff. And it was never, credits were never expected for that help. And it's, you know, sort of the same thing that happens with movies where you have screenwriters dipping in to help, you know, fix screenplays and stuff. And they may get a percentage of the residuals or money, but they don't get screen credit and they're not expecting it. It's sort of the same thing.
Well, I was watching an interview recently with Deborah Kerr, with Marnie Nixon. Mm-hmm. And Marnie Nixon said that when she did the voice of Deborah Kerr in The King and I, it was in her contract that she could not mention anywhere that she had anything to do with this. Mm-hmm. And it was a big deal. Mm-hmm. But the one who blew the cover was Deborah Kerr.
Yeah.
In an interview, she gave Marnie Nixon the credit that she deserved. Mm-hmm. She did say in the interview, that Marnie Nixon only came in to hit the high notes. not true.
True, of course. Yeah. But these days, I agree with you. I think that it's such common knowledge that I think if Ben Franklin and Paris were revived, I'm sure the program would give credit where credit is due. And Jerry Herman would be given credit for the songs he contributed.
I love the score, the whole score.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Franklin and Paris. But I don't think it's ever been given a second chance. Yeah. I don't know that it ever will be, for that matter. I think it was just one of those musicals, as certain musicals were, that were a sign of the times that they came along. I can't imagine, for example, I Do would ever be revived on Broadway because people want spectacle when they go to see a musical. It might, you know, have a nice little, off-Broadway run or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I can't imagine that being done on Broadway.
Unless you had like two big names doing it, you know, two big, well-known like movie stars or TV stars or something, you might be able to get away with it. But you're right. You know, and you chose, we should let people know, you're going to listen to a song, a Jerry Herman song from Ben Franklin in Paris called To Be Alone With You.
Yes.
Right now.
How do you do it? The wind looks wonderful in your hair.
Stop, Monsieur Franklin. Every scheme of yours I'm on to.
How can you rebuke me? Just look at all the fuss I've gone to. I'd sail the skies off to the farthest little star I'd go. Sail the skies and watch the people disappear below. I would gladly give up every earthly thing I know to be alone with you, to be alone with you. I'd roam the earth and every corner of the seven seas, roam the earth and search the spray of every salty breeze. I would let the raging oceans take me where they please, to be alone with you. To hold your hand in mine, with nobody there beside us. To hold your hand in mine, there's nothing I wouldn't do. But if someday to have to share you with the world I must, if someday I find each plan of mine has turned to dust, then while you're here, all that I want in all this world is just to be alone with you.
To touch the ground again is all that my heart can think of. To touch the ground again, there's nothing I wouldn't do. But while we're here, I guess I may as well forget my pride. I'll admit I'm awfully glad there's someone at my side. So baby, I guess we might as well enjoy the ride while I'm alone with you.
If someday to have to share you with the world I must, if someday I find each plan of mine has turned to dust, then while we're here, all that I want in all this world is just to be alone with you.
So now we're going to move on to a much more familiar Jerry Herman show. After Hello, Dolly, he followed that up with another huge success, MAME. So talk about MAME and the, again, three more songs that you had a toss-up about. So talk about MAME.
Well, MAME was the first show that I ever did when I was 13 years old in stock. Of course, as soon as I got cast in the show, and I had two lines. That was, as I say in my show, I put my toes in the water of the business. But I got that cast recording, and I listened to it over and over and over again. And recently, I was watching the film Henry Orient with Angela Lansbury. And that movie came out right after her success in MAME. And I'm thinking, what a shame that she did not do the movie. Because I think the movie would have had an entirely different look and feel to it.
Right.
And of course, you know, Lucille Ball doing the movie. And I will say this, I am one of those people that I can sit back and enjoy the movie for what it was at that time and what it brought. But MAME, you know, this was a big deal for Jerry. He wrote the show with Judy Garland in mind. So you can hear Judy singing those songs. I want to do a shout out to Debbie Wellman. I don't know if you know Debbie.
I do, yes.
But Debbie has recorded some of these songs. And we get this feel of what Judy would have brought to the table with that. But
have you seen her? Have you seen her in concert?
Yes.
It was interesting because I saw her here in Los Angeles right when she first came over from the UK, because she came to LA and did her show here in LA before she went to New York, because she's friends with a friend of mine here in LA. And I went to see her, and I know we're a little off topic, but that's, we always go off topic on the show. But one of the things, I do recommend seeing her because she became famous during the pandemic because she used to post videos on that she's, I hate to call her a Judy Garland impersonator because she's not really a Judy Garland impersonator. She can sound like Judy Garland, but she also can sound like a lot of other people when she sings. But she sort of made a name for herself by sounding like Judy Garland. But when you go to see her in concert, at least when I saw her here in LA, she played at the Catalina Bar and Grill, which is like the main big one here in LA. What I loved was that she did not keep up the Judy stuff in between songs.
Right.
She totally drops the Judy Garland stuff when she's not singing. So she sounds like her British self.
And
it's hysterically funny when she talks in her regular, with her British accent, and she's herself. She's Debbie in between, which actually I loved, because instead of trying to do a whole evening of being Judy Garland, she wasn't. She was Debbie in the show, and then when she broke into song, she sang like Judy Garland.
Judy Garland, yes,
and that's amazing. You just fall in love with her because she's so herself and so funny and charming. And then she breaks into song, and you just get chills because she's got such a gorgeous voice, right? And she just and over the holidays, if anybody didn't notice, she actually released a Judy Garland holiday album. And the nice thing is that her whole point of doing Judy albums is that she's singing songs that Judy Garland could be singing if Judy was still recording today.
like Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas is
Right. And like you said, she recorded songs from MAME because, yes, you know, Judy didn't get to do MAME. So it's really, really cool. Anyway.
Well,
so
I'm glad that we're getting a chance to talk a little bit also about MAME, because I have seen over the years various productions of MAME.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And very interesting, because when they came in to do a musical version of Anti-MAME, Anti-MAME, when you think about it, is Rosalind Russell, who was brilliant in the role. And I would have loved to have seen Greta Garson do it as well. Mm-hmm. I think Bea Lilly also did MAME, but it's such a madcap character.
Mm-hmm.
And very little, when you think about it, of the madcapness, is there such a word, of Anti-MAME transfers to MAME.
Right.
She became, thanks to having Angela Lansbury and the look and feel of that musical, became a much more glamorous entity, I believe, than it ever was with Anti-MAME.
Right.
And it's a problematic show.
Yes.
Because you need the perfect actress to capture the pathos, the comedy timing, the singing chops, and there's some great dance numbers in the show as well, if it's done right.
Right.
And I think at the time that Angela Lansbury was either 40 or 41, which, interestingly enough, was the same age as Carol Channing was when she did Hello, Dolly. So, but I've seen productions where one of those aspects works at the risk of the other aspects of the show.
Right.
And I don't know if it's a show. It's only been revived once, and it was revived with Angela Lansbury.
Right. It's never had a major Broadway revival without Angela Lansbury. It's been had major productions around the U.S. with big stars. Like, I think there was like a big revival in D.C. with it. It was at Christine Baranski. I mean, there have been big revivals of the show, but nothing on Broadway. It's sort of like one of those shows that I think that they just, it's a difficult show to pull off if you don't have the right MAME.
And I don't know if it was because times were changing or what the situation was. I know that it was what looked and felt like a bus and truck company coming into, at that time, what was called the Minskoff Theater, now the Gershwin Theater, which was a huge theater, even though she did do it at the Winter Garden, this huge production with these smaller scale sets and everything. And it was a flop.
Yeah.
Which was a huge shame. So I don't know if in our lifetime, if we will see a production. And you know that they wanted to do a TV version of MAME with Cher.
Right. I remember hearing about that. Yeah.
And, but they wanted to modernize it. And Jerry Herman said no.
Right. Well, it's very much of its time period. I don't know that you can really modernize it and make it work very well. And I think it's really of its time period and needs to be set in the right time period for some reason. I mean, I guess you could try, but I just don't know how it would work. Anyway.
So I'm going to make life easy for you.
Because I know, let me tell the people the three songs you picked. You picked It's Today, If He Walked Into My Life, and We Need a Little Christmas. So which one of those three do you want listeners to hear?
Let's go with It's Today.
Yeah.
It really is the song that introduces us to MAME. Mm-hmm. It sets the tone for the show that we're about to see. And again, as we said earlier on in the interview, it captures the optimism of Jerry Herman.
Light the candles, get the ice out, roll the rug up, it's today. Though it may not be anyone's birthday, and though it's far from the first of the year, I know that this very minute has history in it. We're here.
it's a time for making merry, and so I'm for making hay.
Tune the grand up, dance your shoes up, strike the band up, it's today.
There's a thank you.
Something I needed and yet never knew. So stop the whistling and clapping, 'cause under the wrapping was you. And we'll give life quite a tumble.
So we just heard It's Today from Mame. A fantastic. I agree with you. That would be the one song I would pick of the three you had on your list. And we are going to stick with Angela Lansbury and Jerry Herman for the next show, which began sort of the series of three musicals that all kind of struggled on Broadway from Jerry Herman. Not for lack of fantastic Jerry Herman scores, because all three of them, I think, have wonderful scores. And the first up is Dear World. So talk about the show and what song you picked.
First of all, let me say that Dear World is one of my favorite scores.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love this musical. Lightning struck twice with Dolly and Mame.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously, and interestingly enough, when this came along, It was written for Angela Lansbury. They thought they were going to recapture that magic. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's based on the Mad Woman of Chaillot. And they are trying to, her makeup, the look, the feel of the show was garish, mm-hmm. put it mildly, for the character that she was playing. And people wanted to see the glamorous Angela Lansbury. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, the playbill switched with the glamorous look of Angela Lansbury, right. looking very much like she was doing a production of MAME again. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's the score again about a world. I think it would be ripe for a revival right now.
Right. Did Encores just did it a couple of years ago, right?
They did it with Donna Murphy.
Right. I heard it was fantastic.
And I saw it with Tyne Daly.
Oh, she'd be great.
Production. Yeah, and Tyne Daly broke my heart. Yeah. I mean, she was just amazing.
Yeah.
I'm sure that I picked I Don't Want to Know.
Yes, you did.
Yes. Because... Yes, I know I had to. I love the score, but this song just gets me, mm-hmm. And especially in the world that we're living in right now.
Mm-hmm.
If this is the world that we're living in, I don't want to know of that world. I don't want to know of people. I was talking about this the other night, Christmas night, when we're doing this interview, actually, where we were sitting around the table talking about our wishes for the new year. And I said, I want otherism to disappear, mm-hmm. where we are putting others down for being different, mm-hmm. and everything. And to me, that's the core of this song.
Mm-hmm. So from Dear World, we're going to hear Angela Lansbury with I Don't Want to Know.
If music is no longer lovely, if laughter is no longer lilting, if lovers are no longer loving, then I don't want to know. If summer is no longer carefree, if children are singing, if people are no longer happy, then I don't want to know. Let me hide every truth from my eyes with the back of my hand. Let me live in a world full of lies with my head in the sand. For my memories all are exciting, my memories all are enchanted, my memories burn in my head with a steady glow. So if my friends, if love is dead, I don't want to know. If music is no longer lovely, if laughter is no longer lilting, if lovers are no longer loving, then I don't want to know. If summer is no longer carefree, if children are no longer singing, if people are no longer happy, then I don't want to know. Let me hide every truth from my eyes with the back of my hand. Let me live in a world full of lies with my head in the sand. For my memories all are exciting, my memories all are enchanted, my memories burn in my head with a steady glow. So if my friends, if love is dead, I don't want to know.
So we are talking to Richard Skipper about Jerry Herman's Best. We are kind of going through his shows chronologically, and Richard's giving us his opinion of what he thinks you should listen to if you're picking one song from each of the scores. And next up is a musical that everyone keeps trying to revive and fix of Jerry Herman's flops, and that is Mac and Mabel. What song, what do you love about the score? Everybody loves the score for the show.
It's a beautiful score. And I saw an amazing production of Mac and Mabel years ago. Donna McKechnie was in the production at the Goodspeed Opera House. And I don't think they recorded that production. Do you know if they did or
no?
I don't think they did. Mm-mm. And I wish that they had, because, I mean, just to hear those orchestrations and everything. And again, I think the problem with the business that we're in, the business of show, is once you find your niche, people don't want to see you deviate from that niche.
Mm-hmm.
And we're dealing with two iconic, tragic figures, Mabel Norman and Mack Sennett.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a relationship that, you know, I can attest to having a relationship that you want to work, but it somehow doesn't work for a myriad of reasons. Mm-hmm. And that's what this show is really about,
mm-hmm.
you know, of trying to make something work that's not working.
Mm-hmm.
And it's emblematic of the show itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because they went through several rewrites for the ending and everything. I mean, when the heroine dies,
mm-hmm.
you know, and people don't want that in the theater.
Right.
I think it's really hard to capture.
Right. And it's a show that just doesn't seem to go away because mm-hmm. Herman's score is so strong and so full of wonderful, great tunes. And you picked I Won't Send Roses.
Yes. But it's very interesting, if I may interrupt for just a mm-hmm. second, that a lot of concert versions are done of this score.
Mm-hmm.
I think more than trying to revive the show itself.
Right.
Which is a huge gamble.
Yes.
If you do it. Those of us who are theater geeks and nerds, and I wear that crown proudly.
Yes.
Are going to flock to see it. But beyond that, are you going to find the audience?
Exactly. Exactly. Unfortunately. So let's hear right now. We're going to hear Robert Preston doing I Won't Send Roses from Mac and Mabel.
I won't send roses or hold the door. I won't remember which dress you wore. My heart is too much in control. The lack of romance in my soul will turn you gray, kid. So stay away, kid. Forget my shoulder when you're in need. Forgetting birthday is guaranteed. And should I love you, you would be the last to know. I won't send roses, and roses suit you so. My pace is frantic, my temper's cross, with words romantic, I'm at a loss. I'd be the first one to agree that I'm preoccupied with me, and it's inbred, kid. So keep your head, kid. In me you'll find things like guts and nerve, but not the kind thing that you deserve. And so, while there's a fighting chance, just turn and go. I won't send roses and roses suit you. So
We're going to stick with the movies for the next one. We're going to kind of take a little detour. As I said earlier, when we talked about Ben Franklin in Paris, Jerry Herman contributed some songs to musicals that were not necessarily Jerry Herman musicals. And in this case, since Mac and Mabel was set in the world of silent film, the next musical we're going to talk about is A Day in Hollywood, A Night in the Ukraine. And Jerry, which people may not realize, actually contributed some songs to A Day in Hollywood, Night in the Ukraine.
And that was out there. I mean, it was very much.
That was, people knew that there were songs of his in here. So talk about this. And of course, this is the song you picked, of course, is like fantastic. It's like the perfect song, Jerry Herman song.
the premise of the show was that it was A Day in Hollywood is truly a celebration of all things movies. Something that we all love, going to the movies. And the entire first act of the show, did you see it?
No, I never got a chance to see it.
It was just absolutely, you were practically, with every number, jumping out of your seat because the way it was staged, the way it was presented, the songs, everything was great. And then the second half of the show, A Night in the Ukraine, is a spoof of a Marx Brothers movie.
Right. Yes.
Brilliantly. Mm-hmm. I mean, you watch this, you can't imagine. And if I'm not mistaken, I think that Frank Ferrante, excuse me, who is the foremost Groucho Marx interpreter,
right,
impersonator, I think he also did the show. On Broadway, but just a fun show,
right? And the song you picked is "Just Go to the Movies."
Just Go to the Movies,
which is when you hear it, you're like, "This is a Jerry Herman song." It just is a Jerry Herman song. Yes. It really is, and it's lively and fun, and it gets you in the mood for the first half of the show, which is A Day in Hollywood, right?
I remember the staging so vividly, like it was yesterday, and you just see these emblematic moments. I mean, you see the curtain just rises, very much like 42nd Street, where you just see the feet. You see Judy's red pumps.
Right.
And if anyone's asking Judy who, check out that.
Exactly. Is it the dancing feet or the fancy
feet? Dancing feet, yes.
It's like that's the number. And all you see is just from like the knees down. And it's emblematic of all these fantastic, famous feet. It's famous feet, I think it is.
Yes.
And you see like Fred and Ginger and Judy and all
and
these
Mickey
feet.
Mouse and Mickey Mouse.
Right. And they're all like depicted, but just from the knees down. And it's brilliantly done. It's Tommy Toon. Tommy Toon who did the show.
Love.
So it's just brilliantly, and it was of course a huge hit on Broadway, a Tony Award winning show. And so we're going to hear from A Day in Hollywood, A Night in Ukraine, Just Go to the Movies by Jerry Herman.
Follow me down the aisle of the ground. Kaufman's Chinese Theater, a colossal architectural sensation. From the plush of your seat in the Grauman's Chinese Theater, life can be as plush as your imagination. So if pure entertainment's your style, follow me, I have two on the aisle.
Need to relax, need to escape, go see Fay Wray in the Palm of an Ape, watch Errol Flynn shooting his bow, just go to the movies, just go to a picture show. Oh,
when your morale needs some repairs, watch Busby's Beauties descending the stairs. Hundreds of girls doing high kicks, just go to the movies, just go to the flicks.
And over the sum of a quarter, life is peachy. You can become Alice Faye or Donna Meachy.
Swamped with your bills, late with your rents, watch Betty Davis run out on George Brent's.
See Fred Astaire step in style. When everything's dark and upset, go calling on Clark and Claudette.
Just go to a marvelous movie and smile.
Girls in sarongs, monsters in capes, see Scarlet make a dress out of the drapes. Life can be grand from the third row. Just go to the movies, just go to a picture show.
Cooper in Wings, Crawford in Rain,
see Tarzan beat his chest when he meets Jane. Sing with Dick Powell, ride with Tom Mix.
Just go to the movies,
just go to the flicks.
Vicariously, you are flying down to Rio.
Share the marquee with Mrs. Marx's Zany Trio.
So when your life seems a bit lean, just let some shadows appear on the screen. Shine like a star for a brief while. Whenever you're down in the dumps, try putting on Judy's red pumps. Just go to a marvelous movie and smile.
So when your life seems a bit lean, just let some shadows appear on the screen. Shine like a star for a brief while. Whenever you're down in the dumps, try putting on Judy's red pumps and visit a gun-toting Sharpia, or the Harpia, dangerous beauty, Cupid all cutie, and ancient Hylama, high step and mama. Just go to the movies and smile.
So we are back to Jerry Herman shows, specific Jerry Herman shows, and we are up to the third of his little slump with Dear World, Mac and Mabel, and now up to the Grand Tour, which is also a very interesting show with another beautiful score. And you had a little bit of a toss-up in what song you wanted to pick. Yeah. So let's talk about the Grand Tour and the two songs that you couldn't decide between.
Well, I saw Jason Graw do this years ago. And for those, I can't imagine that there's anyone listening to the show who doesn't know who Jason Graw is. Mm-hmm. But to me, he is one of the best interpreters around of Jerry Herman's music.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I mean, again, when you think of the subject matter of this show, with everything that was happening in the world at that time, it was just, I don't even know the right words to use to describe what this score does for me.
Mm-hmm.
The song, I think one of the songs that I picked, which became Jerry's theme song, he ended his concerts with this song. Jerry Herman lived for many years with AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
And then after 9/11 happened, he went in, rewrote some of the words, wrote a new verse for the song,
mm-hmm.
and that became his song, Moving On. So, again, you made it difficult for me, but I'm going to pick I'll Be Here Tomorrow.
Okay. So we're going to hear that right now from the Grand Tour. The other song you picked was Mrs. S.L. Jacobowski.
Which gets me every time I hear it.
Yes.
I just sit there and cry like a baby.
Yes. It's another unproduced show that doesn't get done very much, but a fantastic score. So I recommend people give it a listen. But we're going to hear I'll Be Here Tomorrow from the Grand Tour.
Mama took the dishes, the furniture. Mama took the pillows, the candlesticks. Mama took the children and fled to Berlin. I grew into manhood, a citizen. I went into business, a patriot, foolishly believing I belonged in Berlin. My incurable optimism. Then that knock on the door in the dead of the night, and that voice saying, run, the sky is falling, run, the ship is sinking. Through the blind confusion I remember still what I was thinking. I'll be here tomorrow, alive and well and thriving. I'll be here tomorrow. My talent is surviving. If before the dawn this fragile world might crack, someone's got to try to put the pieces back. So from beneath the rubble you'll hear a little voice say, life is worth the trouble. Have you a better choice? So let the skeptics say, tonight we're dead and gone. I'll be here tomorrow, simply going on. Migration number two. We move to Vienna, the city of waltzes, of strudel and glitter and gold. We move to Vienna, but under the waltzes, a strange counter melody, ruthless and cold. Run, your life's in danger. Run, you've been defeated. Racing through the night, I looked up at the stars as I repeated, I'll be here tomorrow, alive and well and thriving. I'll be here tomorrow. My talent is surviving. If before the dawn this fragile world might crack, someone's got to try to put the pieces back. So from beneath the rubble you'll hear a little voice say, life is worth the trouble.
have you a better choice? So let the skeptics say, tonight we're dead and gone. I'll be here tomorrow, simply going on to Paris, to Paris, the city of freedom and wonder and music and light. But even in Paris, I'm dreading that knock on the door in the dead of the night. Run, the sky is falling. Run, the ship is sinking. When that moment happens, you know very well what I'll be thinking. Someone's got to try to put the pieces back. So from beneath the rubble, you'll hear a little voice say, life is worth the trouble. Have you a better choice? So let the skeptics say, tonight we're dead and gone. I'll be here tomorrow, simply gone.
So after the grand tour, Jerry Herman was back in very fine form, as we all know, with La Cage à Folle. So let's talk about La Cage. You had two songs that you were kind of mixed between, but talk about La Cage and what it means to you and the two songs.
Well, I remember when La Cage opened on Broadway and the excitement that that brought. I mean, when you think about the timing of this, Stonewall really wasn't that many years before this that it all happened. And the gay community were essentially coming out of the shadows, out of the closets. And here was this musical based, of course, on the French farce, the same name,
right?
Where Jerry Herman, Lawrence, everyone involved with this production were openly gay, except for the leads.
Right.
Yes, interestingly enough. And I'm sure you've heard the stories, you know, Harvey Fierstein talks about, Harvey Fierstein, who wrote the book, also openly gay, that when the show opened in Boston and the two men kissed on stage, they never kissed on stage. Mm-hmm. They embraced each other on stage. Mm-hmm. That they were so afraid. I mean, there were some people who walked out of the theater, but for the most part, it was this just, you know, burst of energy in the theater. When the show moved to the Palace Theater, interestingly enough, when you think about this time frame, and I've seen productions of La Cage since the original. Did you see the original?
I did not see the original. I saw the revival. I saw a production of the show in Los Angeles that was a replica of the original Broadway production. So I have seen, the tour, the first national tour of the show, which was based on the original Broadway production. So I have basically seen the Broadway production. But then in New York, I saw the London production.
Yes.
Doug Hodge, the smaller scaled down production.
And with all due respect,
and to be honest with you, I actually really loved the smaller Doug Hodge production a lot.
I was going to say, I love the look and feel of the original. And perhaps it's the nostalgia of that time. You know, I was, you know, a young gay man in New York and going to the theater and sitting there and crying throughout the entire production of just everything coming together.
Mm-hmm.
What is also very, very sad about that time frame is that many of the men that were in that production died of AIDS.
Right.
Many of the men that were involved with that production. So to me, it just captures a very interesting period. On a side note, at the same time that Lacage was coming to Broadway, I auditioned for a production of the Jewel Box Revue. Because for those who don't know, I performed for many, many years as Carol Channing.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jewel Box Revue was a very famous gay drag revue that gay drag, I guess that's... and we had our backers audition on stage at the Minskoff Theater.
Mm-hmm.
The day after MAME closed with Angela Lansbury.
Uh-huh.
So in our dressing room, there were actually notes still on the, closing night notes to the cast members,
uh-huh.
still taped to the mirrors when we were in the dressing rooms the very next day. But because the producers thought it was too close to the look and feel of La Cage aux Folles coming in,
uh-huh.
that they decided it was not going to happen. So that was just that we came that close to coming to Broadway with that show.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Amazing. So talk about the songs for La Cage, because you were kind of a toss-up between I Am What I Am and A Little More Mascara.
I'm going to go with I Am What I Am. But interestingly enough, it's become such an anthem in our community.
Mm-hmm.
Gloria Gaynor, mm-hmm. And my favorite version outside of the show was Shirley Bassey.
Oh,
I don't know if you've ever heard Shirley Bassey sing the song, but it's one of those songs. A few of the songs have been able to have a life beyond the musical itself.
Mm-hmm.
But I Am What I Am, especially, can you imagine? I mean, Gloria Gaynor, mm-hmm. who was considered one of the queens of disco,
mm-hmm.
That song playing on the dance floors. In the discos in the 80s,
mm-hmm.
At the very tail end of that era, mm-hmm. of Studio 54.
Right.
And the Palladium and all of those clubs that were just closing in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go with I Am What I Am, although I love A Little More Mascara.
And do you want me to play the Shirley Bassey version?
I would love for you to play the Shirley Bassey.
I will play the Shirley Bassey. So we're going to hear Shirley Bassey singing I Am What I Am from La Cage aux Folles.
I love you too. Now don't call me Shirley. I know we started that Des O'Connor. Hello. I am my own special creation. So come take a look. Give me the hook of the ovation. It's my world that I want to have a little pride in. My world, but it's not a place I have to hide in. Your life is a sham till you can say, hey, what I am. Something is wrong.
I think it's pretty. And so what if I love each feather and each spangle? Why not try and see things from a different angle? Your life is a sham till you can say,
So before we get to Jerry Herman's last musical, which wasn't a Broadway musical, but we are going to get to his final musical, we're going to jump into his foray into a television movie called Mrs. Santa Claus, starring Angela Lansbury. He was reunited with Angela Lansbury, who played Mrs. Santa Claus, because we want to touch on everything Jerry Herman. So talk about Mrs. Santa Claus and the song you picked from that.
Well, Mrs. Santa Claus was a throwback to a musical being created, not for Broadway, but for television.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me of Cinderella,
mm-hmm.
The excitement of Rodgers and Hammerstein writing that, Evening Primrose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that your listeners are going to know the show.
Mm-hmm.
So many shows that were written specifically for television.
Yeah, it was common in like the 50s and 60s. There were quite a few TV musicals. Yeah.
And I remember the excitement when it was announced that he was creating this musical, not for Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, in all honesty, I think that it would have worked as a Broadway musical. But I think because he had been burned so many times that there was a fear of them coming and doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, when it premiered on CBS, it ran away with all the ratings
mm-hmm.
that night.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody tuned in, mm-hmm. which is a testament to, let's face it, Angela Lansbury had a very high TVQ rating.
Right.
Because of the murder she wrote.
Yeah.
And that helped a lot in that market. Interestingly enough, just this past Christmas, Goodspeed Opera House was supposed to premiere Mrs. Santa Claus.
Oh, you're right. I remember that.
And
What happened?
I don't know what happened.
Uh-huh.
And it's very interesting. I would love to know what happened. But from what I understand, that musical was not only going to carry the songs from Mrs. Santa Claus that we know and love, but it was also going to use some trunk songs that have never really been heard or seen before.
Oh, right. Well, because I would imagine there's not really enough songs in the TV movie to sustain a stage musical.
But there is.
Is there really?
Go and listen to the, there is a CD cast recording of it.
Right.
Which I have signed by Angela and Jerry.
Yes. Because oftentimes with a movie musical or a TV musical, there's not quite as many songs as you normally would have with a stage musical. So, because with a TV musical, especially because you've got breaks for commercials and stuff, it's barely 90 minutes of airtime. So there's not usually enough songs to fill a stage musical. But I'll have to check it out because I don't think it's been a long time since I've heard the score. So I'll have to go back.
So I don't know if we will ever see a musical version of this fully staged. Hopefully we will.
Yeah, hopefully Goodspeed will get around to it.
Obviously, Goodspeed had a script in hand mm-hmm. that they wanted to go with. And then for whatever reasons, and it often happens in the theater, mm-hmm. it didn't happen.
Wow. And you picked a song called Almost Young.
Almost Young. Again, it's one of the, interestingly enough, at the time that we record this, I was at a Christmas party last evening when we are doing the actual interview. Mm-hmm. And I was asked to sing this song. So I sang this song. Because I used to do this. This song, Almost Young, again, it captures everything that Jerry was. Jerry always had this, like, almost like a childlike wonder of looking at the world. And when I hear these lyrics and I think about the lilt and feel of the song itself, it captures Jerry. It captures Angela Lansbury. Mm-hmm. And when I was performing as Carol Channing, I used to do this song in the show as Carol. Mm-hmm. And when Carol Channing saw the show, she said, "Oh, I have a new song."
Okay, so from Mrs. Santa Claus, we're going to hear Almost Young.
I'm holding back the hands of time, and though a fool might say I passed my prime, my heart has always clung to staying almost young. A few gray hairs, a few gold teeth can never hide the kid that's underneath, the kid whose hopes are hung on staying almost young. My walk is swift and sporty, my disposition is evergreen. Oh, I say, I'm over 40, I'm over 17. I'll still have all the speed it takes when all the others have applied the brakes, and when my knell has rung, I'll still be strutting and kicking like some little chicken, and almost young. So if you think this spunky pup is either bogging down or slowing up, you better hold your tongue. I'm feeling almost young. They always act up each time it rains, but my arthritis and my phlebitis are simply growing pains. So let them say I passed my peak, that I'm a million years from hide and seek, but when my dirge is sung, I'll still be tough as a riddle and fit as a fiddle and strutting and kicking like some little chicken and almost young.
So we're now up to our final Jerry Herman show, and it is called Miss Spectacular. Talk about where this show came from, what it was for, and whatever happened to the show.
It was a concept show. Mm-hmm. And it was a concept show that was put together for Las Vegas, of all places. Mm-hmm. And it was a big spectacular. There's an incredible CD compilation recording of songs with phenomenal singers. Mm-hmm. Debbie Gravett, Faith Prince, so many others. And again, it was one of those shows that I don't know why it didn't work.
Right.
You know, that that this show, whether it be a musical, you know, I know that we've moved on, but I want to go back to Dear World for just a second, and I'll tie it in with what we're talking about right now. When Dear World was conceived, Jerry really wanted like a chamber musical with just four pieces. And because of the success of MAME, they wanted something much more spectacular, Miss Spectacular, and created, you know, this incredible orchestrations and everything with that, with Don Pippin. And now, you know, the same thing with this. I don't know why this is not a concept musical, because every song to me works as being a production that high schools and community theaters are not doing on a regular basis.
Because it's is it a beauty pageant type musical?
It's a beauty pageant type of musical. Mm-hmm. But each character that comes out to sing their song gives almost like a chorus line.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about you know, learning about who these characters are through the songs they picked.
Right.
And I picked a particular song because, and it's very interesting. You're going to recall that what you wrote to me, it's not necessarily the song that became the breakaway hit in the show or a song that everyone instantly falls in love with.
Mm-hmm.
Reason I picked this song is because of the performance on the album.
Yes.
And that's Faith Prince.
Uh-huh.
Where in the World Is My Prince?
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah, it is, the album is actually quite delightful to listen to. It's, and I agree with you. And there, it's interesting because I don't think the album, I have the CD right in front of me.
Yes.
The album, I don't remember that it has anybody credited with the book, a script. Because it has music and lyrics by Jerry Herman, but I don't remember if there's anything in the notes that says that there's actually a book, that there was actually a book written as to who wrote the book. But
Donald, who else could have rhymed Nijinsky and Lewinsky?
Right, exactly. But I would love to see if this show ever gets produced, because it's, the score is actually, you know, it's prime Jerry Herman. And it's surprising to me, and I think I've heard some people have picked up some of the songs from this album,
and
do perform them. So we are going to hear Faith Prince doing "Where in the World Is My Prince" from Miss Spectacular.
Physical bounties and orchards of orchids and quince. I have barrels of rubies and breathtaking boobies, but where in the world is my prince? Every day Neiman Marcus massages my carcass. Sassoon gives my tresses a rinse. I've been trained by Nijinsky and coached by Lewinsky. So where in the world is my prince? Then along came a man from a land that was far, far away. He was strong, he was smart, he was sweet, he was rich, he was gay. Forbes highest rating, it shouldn't be hard to convince. Some young dupe to devour me, to come and deflower me. Oh, where in the world is my prince? Then along came a man bearing gifts in a bucket of gold. He was smart, he was sweet, he was rich, he was old. And so, while I've been sitting my
wedding and gathering dust ever since. So pray come and corrupt me, seduce and abduct me. Come delve in my treasures, unspeakable pleasures. Oh, where in the world is my prince? So I learned watching Zsa Zsa please some Maharaja, and sharpened my skills ever since. Send a shy or a proud one, just one well-endowed one. Pray someone starts calling before things start falling. Oh, where in the world is my prince?
So Richard Skipper has been here. We have been doing the best of Jerry, or Jerry's best, all of their Jerry Herman songs from all of his musicals, and some of the musicals that he contributed songs to, including the TV movie Mrs. Santa Claus and Miss Spectacular, the unproduced musical. Thank you, Richard. And Richard is going to be...
Before we end...
Yes?
I want to... I'd like to refer to something else.
Oh, okay.
Jerry also has had many reviews done of musicals over the years.
Yes.
Jerry's Girls.
Yes.
Which, the album... You know, with Carol Channing, Andrea McArdle, Leslie Uggams. Mm-hmm. But when it was done on Broadway, and I regret, you know, I hate the fact that the Broadway production of Jerry's Girls was never recorded.
Mm-hmm.
It was Dorothy Loudon, Leslie Uggams, and Cheetah Rivera.
Right.
And I saw the show 6 times on Broadway.
Yes.
Is that obsession?
Yes.
Times on Broadway. And it was also during that production that you may recall that Cheetah Rivera was hit by the cab and
right.
almost crushed her legs.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as she was able to get up and walk again, she was dancing again on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
But to see that show, there's also a great production called Show Tune. Which celebrates the music of Jerry Herman. And I've seen an incredible production I was sitting behind Jerry Herman in the theater, and he turned around, and because people know when I'm in the theater because I'm just loving everything, but he turned around and he said, what is it about this show that is resonating with you? And I said, we're hearing your lyrics. And then I saw another production several months later, I'm not going to say where, and it didn't work for me. And Jerry was there that night. And Jerry Herman again turned to me and said, what went wrong? And I said, they're making it about the dance and not the lyrics.
Ah, Right.
He agreed with me on that.
They were pulling focus.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is with Jerry Herman. It's about the lyrics and the melodies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really about what he conveys the most. And I'm going to include a link to your website so people can find you. They can find your podcast. They also can come see you because we want to remind people where you're going to be this month in February. February 11th, 7 p.m. at the Revolution Stage Company in Palm Springs, celebrating your 65th birthday.
That's right. And I will say this, but I have a special guest star, and it's a surprise in most, but I'm going to tell your listeners, Barbara Minkus is my special guest star for the
show. Cool. So that is on February 11th. That's a Wednesday. And then Friday, February 27th at the Laurie Beachman Theater, you'll be doing your third encore of your show there, where he's becoming a fixture, the Laurie Beachman Theater. So if you're in Palm Springs on the 11th of February, you can see him. And if you're in New York on the 27th of February, you can see Richard Skipper. And I highly recommend you do. He's delightful to see in person.
A couple of Jerry Herman songs.
Yes, of course there are. And please check out the podcast. And Richard, it's always so much fun to chat with you. And I look forward to being on your podcast again very soon.
Well, Donald, anytime. And I just want to thank you for what you do. Broadway and beyond. You know, you are required listening once a week, at least for me.
Yes, I know. I tell people all the time, if I'm slightly delayed in getting the show up, I get an email, just a very nice email from Richard saying, where's the show? It's not up yet. Where is it? Where's the show? Because I know he listens. He listens on Sunday when he's doing his work on his newsletter, because he has a lovely Monday newsletter he puts out. And if he listens to my show while he's doing his newsletter, and if it's not up in time, I get a nice little email from Richard. Where's the show? Where's the show? Yes. And I'm like, I'm late. I'm running late this morning. So I get it up as quickly as I can. But Richard, it's always a pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you. You too. This has been so much fun. Thank you.
Thanks.